Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jerix, what's going on, man? It's Howie.
What's up, big pimpin'?
We're going to pick you right here, brother. Welcome to Philly. We're excited to get you, man.
Hey, let's go to
it's going
to
be fun. It's going to be fun.
Jerix.
Hey, hold on.
Jerix.
Oh, they have
hold on.
You hear me?
I'm going to Philly.
All right, I don't think you know something. It's been going crazy there. You can't hear me.
Jalex, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Everybody loud right now.
I hear that. You deserve it.
Hold on.
Hey, congrats, man. Go enjoy this moment. I'll talk to you later. Can't wait to get you here.
I got you. Hey, man.
All right.
Hey, coach, I need the playbook ASAP.
All right, we'll get it to you, man. We can get it to you quick. All right, baby.
And that's how we were introduced to Jalex Hunt. The pass rusher the Eagles selected from Houston Christian University in the third round. All right, probably the most off-the-radar selection they made this entire draft. Hugh, what do you see when you see this guy? Because, you know, when this draft is all said and done, we're excited for Trotz Jr., but he was a later round pick. Obviously, the first two picks with Mitchell and DeJean, we knew them. We talked a lot about them. We didn't mention this kid's name once. That was a fun call calling Howie Big Pimpin', but I like the end, too, when he says, I need the playbook. Hugh, when you watch him, what do you see? A Cornell transfer. So he started at Cornell as a safety. He put on a bunch of weight. He eventually moved to Houston Christian University. What do you say?
6'3", 252 pounds, ran like a 4.6 40. And, you know, he's a long kid. Long kid. I see his ability. Like, he's kind of raw in the pass rush game, no question about that. But I see he has a drop-back ability. So I'm projecting him to be an outside linebacker. I don't know what they're going to run here. It feels like it's going to be a 3-4 when you look at his skill set and things of that nature. Saw him get an interception in one of the games that he played in. Bottom line is this, Joe. I feel like with the way that this defense is going to potentially be with a bunch of young guys out there, he's going to have an opportunity to start. Now, I know it's one of those things that we talked about for the last couple of months about you're not too excited about having young guys play, but you just all of a sudden on this defensive side of the ball, we went from devoid of talent to hope springing eternal with all these young guys back there. Oh, yeah, and another thing that is going in their favor is they have a pretty good coach that's going to coach them up. Like, this is where I've been talking about, been screaming for the last couple of months, coaching matters. And if you're going to have all these young guys on the field, which I project it to be, then you're going to have to coach them up because, like you said, and you've been saying, they're going to make a lot of mistakes. But if they're making mistakes 100 miles an hour and they're making tackles while they're doing that and everything like that, you can live with that, and they're going to get better as the season progresses.
So how about this for you? Because they must have taken this kid on his athleticism, right? They're projecting what he can be. So I saw this. This was really interesting. So his blend of length and explosiveness, it's pretty rare in the NFL draft. So since 2015, there have been five edge rushers drafted in the first two rounds that have had arms as long as his and have leapt as far as he leapt in them when they measured all the measurables, Hugh.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those names on that list, Myles Garrett.
I was about to say had to be one.
Myles Garrett and Danielle Hunter are on that list. All of these guys were drafted early in the draft, so he's the latest picked of those guys. So, like, when you have this kind of athleticism at a pass rusher, you're usually taken pretty high.
Yeah, and when you talk about, like I said, he's raw because a lot, like, when I saw some of the rushes that he had in the Senior Bowl or whatever the bowl game he played in, I saw a lot of times he allowed people to get in his body. That's coachable. You can coach that out of him, you know, to keep people at arm's length because he has long arms. So he's going to have, like, to me, I feel like he's going to have an opportunity because they're going to coach these young guys up and they're going to try to play. Would not be surprised, Joe, and we talked about this a little earlier, if there's at least 6 to 7 young guys on this defense.
Yeah, and I didn't even count him, right, because it feels like but I'm sure if he could play, he'll get on the field a little bit. I don't even know what conference Houston Christian is in.
Me neither.
I didn't even know it was a school, to be honest with you guys, until Friday night when they drafted him.
Me neither.
Southland, maybe? That maybe it's something there. So he was 5'.
It's like Central State University.
No, it's a small school, I mean, probably like that.
Sometimes,
yeah,
it works out.
Yeah, sometimes. And I hope it does for him. Man, you know I'm always pulling for the small school guys.
So
always.
This kid was 5'5" when he started playing high school football. 5'5". So he's grown almost a foot in the last, you know, whatever, 7 years, 8 years
That's
of his
great.
Life. And obviously he's put on a lot of weight. I'd say he's the most, 5 years from now when we look back on this draft, I feel like the Jalex Hunt pick might swing the draft, right? Like if they got something here, it's like, whoa, Mitchell and DeJean and Hunt. And then, you know, whatever they get out of the bottom three or four rounds, and especially Trott Jr. But interesting player. We'll see what Fangio could do with him. I mean, that's part of having Fangio here. Maybe he could turn this guy into something here. 215-592-9495. Let's go back to your phone calls here on Embiid, on the Sixers, Philly's red hot, and, of course, the NFL draft with the Eagles did. Let's go to Rob and Delco. Hey, Rob.
Joe, Hugh, what's up, fellas?
Hey,
what's going on, man?
Mr. I don't know what Mr. Quinn, I think Hugh, did he take some of your gummies before he came in? I don't know what he's talking about with MB coming after the fans. Joe, I don't want to hear it, Joe. You know why? And I heard somebody mention this, I think, on the morning show. So let me know if you guys agree with it, okay? The disconnect between ownership and these fans that sat through, what, Joe, a decade of this process and the hard-earned money they spent sitting through, you know, a 10-win team, whatever it was, a 13-win team, seeing guys that you knew were just here just to fill out a roster. And listen, I agree with you. He needs to read the room better. I don't disagree with what Joe Allen said. I'm disappointed, too. But that's not the time and place for it, Joe. It's just not the time and place for it. Because you know what? How big is Josh Hart? What's he like?
Oh, he's 6'4", 6'5". He's not very big.
He's not a big.
I think they lie. I think he's like 6'3", 6'4", more than 6'5". But you know what he's got, though? He's got that dog in him, Joe. How many rebounds did he have? 17?
17. Yeah, he's listed at 6'4". Maybe he's 6'3". He had 17 rebounds.
That's a lot.
I forget what you said. You were saying some statue. I'm all over the place here because I'm just at a wit's end with this team. You know what I mean? Listen, I didn't go to no games, but I invested my time day after day after day, year after year, watching these guys. And you know what? If you remember what I said before game two, what I want to see happen, and I'm going to remind you, let me know if you guys remember. DiVincenzo, come down the lane early, which he did. Who knocked him on his ass, Joe? Wasn't Joel Embiid. It was Kyle Lowry, if you remember.
Yep.
Kind of swiped him over the top of the head, knocked him a little bit on the side of the head. He was red a little bit. You know, listen, I don't want to hurt nobody, but he sent a message, Joe. He sent a message early. The oldest and smallest guy on the court did. Not Mr. Softy. It ain't Tobias no more because we know he's soft. It's the big man. So when they announce him from now on and they go 7-2 from Kansas, they should have the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do in the background because that's what he is. That or the same old song but with a different beat since you've been gone. You know that song, Hugh? It's the same old song.
All around the world, same song.
I was going to sing it for you, but, you know, it's just a different beat since you've been gone. But he's not gone, Joe. And until he's gone, it's the same thing every year. Because here's my last point. When's he going to be in shape? When, Joe? Listen. Unless he's hurt more than what we know, I don't want to hear it no more. Because you can pay me $150, $200 million. Say what you want about T.O. or say what you want about Antonio Brown. You know what those guys did, Joe? Their bodies were their temples.
Yes,
Joe.
Yes.
Their bodies were their temples. And if this big man thought like that, I don't mean to cut you off, but if this big man thought like that, we would have not one, but we'd probably have two championships by now. He doesn't have that mentality, Joe, and he never, ever will. Stick your ass in somebody's hip. Get that friggin' rebound. I don't care if you're on one leg or not. I don't want to hear it no more, Joe. Healthy. Get healthy, Joel. Take care of your damn body. Because you know what? They pay me that money. I'm taking care of my damn body. I'll tell you that right now, Hugh. I'm not eating wings like I am right now. You know what I mean?
Well, no, and the hard part is, and the frustrating part is, time's running out. And Rob, we appreciate it. Always appreciate the phone call. This was supposed to be the year he was healthier because he had the surgery. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't have the right answer because obviously he comes off the court, and I recognize they are not good when he comes off the court. But, like, it's the fourth quarter. You're on the court. You got to play better than that.
Yeah,
he
you
just
got you got to kind of step your game up, man. And that's unfortunate that for the last four games that he's been in, like, he's kind of come up short in the fourth quarter. It's not been what you would want from your superstar, what you want from the biggest guy on the court at that time.
Yeah, and it's just really hard to win that way. It's just no matter how we slice the cake, it's really hard to win. Daryl is up next on WIP. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Hugh, Joe, Kyle, how y'all guys doing, man?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Daryl.
All right, check this out. I just want to make, like, 3 points. I want to talk about the Eagles, the Sixers, and my little bit of Phillies. The Eagles, man, I had initially said it was how he was gambling and everything, but, like, in his own way, whatever method he used, he pretty much addressed almost every position on that team. He shored it up, man. And I'm really proud. And as far as, like, Jeremiah Trott Jr., man, I know, you know, Hugh and Ike, I know y'all got to be, like, proud uncles. You know what I mean? To have this guy on the team. And all of these picks, pretty much, they all got, like, chips on his shoulders. They going to show him, man. And, yeah, if Bradberry is here after June, I'd really be surprised. I guess y'all might agree with me on that.
Oh yeah, I would. I mean, because they have so many young corners that I just think it's a matter of time till someone takes that spot, and they could release them.
Yeah, and I want to say something about the Sixers, man.
Go for it.
Okay, man. I was. They drew me back in. I'm rocking with the Sixers until I'm dead. You know what I mean? But the thing is, man, it's the difference, man. It just seems like the team is taking – you got two personas, you know, you got two dogs, and you got two personas you can take on. You can be like Scooby-Doo, who's supposed to be big, but he's scared of ghosts, or you can be like Scrappy-Doo. He ain't that good, but the dude ain't scared of no ghosts. His heart is in it. You know what I mean? And overall, you know, I mean, Kyle Lowry is like got some Scrappy-Doo in it, but the Knicks is more like Scrappy-Doo, man. You know, and you know, and so, like, I'm not against what Joel said about the fans, but he should just check that at the door because it just make them seem soft, even acknowledging that BS. You know what I'm saying?
It makes him sound like Scooby-Doo, Daryl.
Yeah,
I agree. He was very Scooby-Doo,
like Scooby-Doo
yesterday.
And you know, yeah, the those Knicks fans being there, I mean, it's like, yeah, you can root for your team, man. But those exemplatives, I mean, you're disrespecting the city like that. Those fans disrespect the city. So if Embiid is angry about that, take that to the next game. You know what I'm saying? And kick some butt. Take that to the next game. Step up. You know, get some rebounds. You know what I'm saying? Do some stuff, man.
Totally. Daryl, there's a way. Here's the way to fix this. Daryl, we appreciate it. How about shut up the Knicks fans for the next three games? Like, that's still possible. I don't think it's likely. But Joel could do that. He could go to New York tomorrow night, drop 40, and dominate the game, come back here, give whatever Knicks fans make the trip for Game 6 nothing to cheer about, and then go take the series from them in Game 7. It's not over yet.
Yeah, it's not over. It's not over, and I still believe that there's an opportunity there. You just have to step up, man. I mean, you have to look. You have to be realistic about where you are and say, you know what, maybe I could do a little bit more in the fourth quarter as opposed to, you know, fading, because that's what people see. So, yeah, it's not over yet. It's not over. And there's a chance to fix all of this and give us an opportunity not to be talking bad about you after the next game.
Here's my way of fixing this for Joel. If he doesn't want Knicks fans to do that again here in Philadelphia, how about do something that Shaq did back in the day? Shaquille O'Neal in his career averaged 33-14 in the NBA Finals. I recognize it's the first round. It's way different. But how about go do that for the next three games? Go average 30. I mean, he's averaging 30-something anyway. Go average 14 rebounds a game. Take the Knicks' energy away by taking the ball away from them, which is what they just keep taking it every time it goes off the glass. Mike at Broomall. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hey, Mike. What's up?
Dude, so Embiid may be the most annoying athlete in our town because he's got all this talent in the world, and every time he comes up short, and it's so annoying. And I'm not going to put all the blame on him because the process was the most annoying thing in the world. The other, Rob from Delco, he took all the words right out of my mouth. We waited so long for all this stuff. We collected all these assets and then we banked all these assets and then we pooped the bed, whoever was making the deal at the time, whether it was the Colangelos or Morey or whoever. But the worst one was when you took Mikal Bridges, you traded him 10 minutes after you picked him for a first-round pick and some dude that wore, you know, really bright sneakers, and you traded him for a first-round pick. That first-round pick turned into Tobias Harris. Would you rather have Tobias Harris or Mikal Bridges on this team?
It's not even
that
a question.
Right there,
I mean, if you presented that to any NBA executive, they'd laugh. Like, who? Of course, Mikal Bridges.
So that right there defines this organization, defines the Joel Embiid era of Sixers basketball. Poor organizational decisions and Joel Embiid shrinking in the playoffs. And it's not just, Joel. It's everybody. I mean, like, yes, Elton Brand drafted Tyrese Maxey. Elton Brand hasn't made a draft pick probably since whoever they drafted in the second round of the 2020 draft when they drafted Maxey. That was probably his last draft pick. So who'd they draft? Springer. And what'd they do? They traded him. You know, they traded him either A, because he couldn't play, or B, because either Nick Nurse or Doc Rivers didn't want him to play. So they exiled him to whoever they traded him to for, what, nothing?
Yeah, it's a sad combination of he's not great enough to overcome their mistakes and they've made too many of them. It's like, and that's then we get the same thing every year.
So, and now this summer you're going to do, okay, so now you got all this cap room this summer. So what's your plan? You're going to go pay 35-year-old Paul George?
Yes.
Dude, are you kidding? Are you going to go get LeBron? Dude, are you kidding me? You're going to bring LeBron here? I'd rather have Paul George than LeBron. Most people would. I know, Joe, I don't want to hear it right now, but I'm just saying, if you bring Paul, I mean, I watched Paul George play yesterday. He didn't play terrible, but I mean, come on, dude, he's 35 years old, man. You got to go get some young Thundercat, Hugh. I love it.
You got to go get somebody
in their 20s, but you can't, because all these guys that are in their 20s, they're going to re-sign for max deals on the teams that drafted them, whether they either A, want to or not, because they're going to, they got to get theirs, because that is what it is. It's just, it's so irritating and it's so frustrating, and they always pick the wrong player.
Always. Even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was taken one pick after what they had. I mean, like, it's always, Mike. And Mike, we appreciate it. It's a combination of their mistakes and Joel can't elevate them to past where they are. I'm just letting everybody know that there's a realistic scenario this summer where their only way out of this is LeBron James. I'm just letting you guys ready for this, okay? Paul George probably is going to stay in L.A., and he's probably just going to use the Sixers' leverage. I'm just saying, I know he's old, but we have Tobias Harris. Would you say no to LeBron James? I know someone around here would. He might be their best option. LeBron might be the best option to try to get this thing over the hump.
I would say, I hear where you're going, Joe, but over the last couple of days, I guess because you've been talking about it so much, I've been getting the compilation of LeBron James flops during this series. It's a little much, man. LeBron James is still a good player, but man, he's a lot now since he's gotten older. But now I think it's more profound because he's gotten older. He's a little bit of a diva.
Yeah, he's still good play.
The only person and team that's losing in more embarrassing fashion than the Sixers right now is LeBron and the Lakers.
Well, they're playing the best player in the league. They can't beat him.
They literally can't beat him. I mean, they did just beat him once.
They lost 12 in a row. I recognize all that.
LeBron is super mad at his teammates, though.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun here. You get mad at Embiid for backing up the bus on his teammates. Let's bring on LeBron.
Heartbeat. Let's go to Jack in New York. What's up, Jack?
What's going on?
Jack, what's up, pal? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm sad, but I don't blame, you know, I mean, you can blame Embiid for conditioning and getting hurt, but the reality of the situation is I blame Nick Nurse more. Embiid's possibly is one of the best players in the NBA. Every year he's come back better than he was the year before. He had terrible coaching in the beginning of the Sixers, in his Sixers career, you know, and I think he'll come back better next year. I think he just needs to get in crazy shape. If he worked out with LeBron, that would be it. He'd be unstoppable. I think Nick Nurse, you shouldn't be playing him the whole first quarter. The game we won, we didn't play him the whole first quarter. I don't care if he wants to stay in. That's the coach's job, to pull him out, to get him rested so he's good for the fourth. As for rebounding, he's 75%. He's 80%. He's definitely not healthy. That's why he can't block shots and rebound now.
But isn't that the story of every postseason? I mean, no matter what, this is the story. He's out of shape. He can't. He's not. He's banged up, right? Or he's coming off of something. Like this year, he's coming off of the recovery from the surgery. Jack, yeah. It just feels like it's the same story every year. We just move the details around.
Well, I agree. This injury, you know, he's injury prone, and that's why I said the thing that he has to do in this offseason is just work out. You know, just full on. If he did like LeBron workouts, he probably wouldn't get injured as much. And also, he shouldn't be playing in the first so much. They need to like space him out. Man. Also, Nick Nurse, listen, I thought he managed that game terribly. He called no timeouts early. If we were up by 10, you saw how sloppy we were getting. We couldn't score like five times down the floor. He doesn't call timeout. He waits till it's a tie game to call timeout. Where was Embiid? I don't even understand where Embiid was playing at the end of that game.
I don't know.
Jack, I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes he'll just drift away. Yeah, Jack, I don't know where he was. Jack, we appreciate our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Are you annoyed with Joel Embiid? Yes, 56%. No, 44%. I'm actually a bit surprised today. Not at the poll question. We haven't hit bingo yet, everyone. We are very close to bingo. We got 4 out of 5 and a couple parts of this bingo board. I think people are tired of making excuses on their own for Joel Embiid. And we've heard some fair points. I don't think Nurse was great yesterday. And you know, there's obviously Tobias Harris stinks. I mean, everyone but Hugh will say it with their chest. But like, I think a lot of people are tired of making excuses for this guy. Maybe the tide has finally turned on Joel Embiid, where he didn't. What do you expect from Joel Embiid tomorrow night? Do you expect him to play dominant basketball?
What are you asking me? What I hope for?
No, what do you expect?
Well, you asked me what I hope for.
What do you expect?
See, the fact that you don't expect him to play great tells you everything.
What do you expect
from Tobias Harris tomorrow, Hugh?
Eight to ten points. But that's what I'm. Kyle, you get mad because I'm just being realistic. Crumble Cookie is going to give you 8 to 10 points.
To call that realistic is the biggest spin job on the planet.
No, it's not a spin
realistic
job.
You're just avoiding the truth.
No,
dancing around the truth, Hugh.
No, I'm saying he's going to give you 8 to 10 points.
He's going
to
suck.
I'm not saying that he's not going to suck. I'm just saying when you look at the box score, he gives you 8 to 10 points.
You're dancing around
the
truth.
No, I'm not. I'm just being honest. That's the truth. The truth is. The truth is this: if I was going into battle, mm-hmm. into the game with this team, hey Tobias, you know what I would say, Tobias? Do what you've been doing, because that's all, like, I can't expect you to do any more than what you've given me.
It's like if Jalen Hurts threw 30 interceptions, and we said, well, he consistently gives you one touchdown a game.
It's not the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. You know why?
Let me tell you
why it's not the same thing. It's because I expect more out of Jalen Hurts. Now, this is where I need to help y'all out a little bit. I'm okay with what Tobias Harris has given us because he's been giving it to us all year. Where the disconnect is this. Y'all are expecting something from somebody who has not given you anything all year.
I'm just tired of seeing him on the floor.
Okay, right. But you're mad about that, and I'm not. I'm not mad about it.
Let me tell you what I expected of Joel tomorrow night. Him to run out of gas in the fourth quarter.
It seems like that might be
the case. And that's not championship basketball.
And see, this is how I view it as a former player. Knowing what the narrative is, and the narrative is now going into this game that you're not going to show up in the fourth quarter when you need it. Like, that's the fact. The fact that – go look at the Knicks' Twitter feed. And what did they put up? In the fourth quarter, Joel Embiid in the last four games, two rebounds in the fourth quarter. So, that tells me that they feel like he's not going to show up. Now, if it's me and the dog that was in me when I played, I need to do everything in
because
my power.
Because you had that dog in you.
To know that I need to be present and accounted for in the fourth quarter.
Unfortunately,
now, that's what I hope that Joel Embiid does.
Me too. But
now, what do I expect?
Yeah, right, because you had dog in you.
Yeah, I mean,
Lowry has a dog in him. Maxie does. The rest of the Sixers team.
You're the best player on the court at any time.
Play like it.
And we about to go home. Like, there's a chance, and it's a good chance we're going home if you don't play
five
like
the Knicks.
Best. 7-2. Dog, you 7-2.
All right, when we come back here, winners and losers from the NFL draft. Plus, what Cooper DeJean was asked, what question was he asked? Well, he was asked the question. You know which one we're talking about. We're going to let you hear what it sounded like in his response to the question we all wondered about Cooper DeJean. He was already asked about it at his first press conference. 215-592-9494, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about my friends over at FanDuel. The road to the NBA Finals starts now, and new customers on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You could take three-pointers. I will go over tomorrow night for Maxi. Over-under point totals. Give me the under for Joel Embiid tomorrow. First basket scorer. You know what? How about Tobias? Then he will only score two the rest of the game. And more. Just go to
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
As you probably know, there haven't been many white starting cornerbacks in the NFL in a long time. Do you think that'll prevent you from getting that opportunity?
I mean, if they put me out there, I'll be excited to play out there.
Cooper DeJean answered that the best he could. What do you think he's thinking there as he asked that question?
I just like how he framed it. Do you think being white is going to prevent you from having an opportunity? Like sit on that one for a minute. like just think about that for a minute. Do you think that being white is going to prevent you from having an opportunity to play?
He answered that the best he could, because if he elaborates, it probably doesn't end up well for him.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, it's like, listen, he can play. And like I've said this before, he could be purple. But for you, for you to ask that question, I mean, there's so much I could do with that when he said it. I'm not, but it's just like, do you think being white is going to be a hindrance to you? I would have just said, you know what? It's been doing pretty good for me lately. I haven't had any setbacks.
I did play at Iowa. Drafted by the Eagles in the second round of the draft.
Well, it didn't hold Jeff McClain back. I mean,
look at him.
Look at Jeff McClain.
He's a writer and he's a white guy.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's so much, but I'm going to go ahead and, you know. It's one of those things. I guess Jeff thought he was being innovative.
Well, we all talked about it.
In a joking way.
Yeah, it's rare. Because there just hasn't been white corners.
Yeah. But the dude can play. The dude can flat out play, man. And that's all that matters. Yeah, I mean, that's everybody. Everybody on that wheel C train. But I think that he can play. And I think that there's going to be an opportunity for him to be out there on the field.
Also, there's been no indication yet that they view him strictly as a safety. I think that may have come out here in the last few days if that was true. I think they're open to see where he's best at. Now, is there a chance he ends up as a safety and we still don't have a white corner? Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. But for now, it seems like they kept saying versatile and corner, nickel, safety. So it seems like he'll play everywhere. The whole thing is just, it went from silly to like, I think he was a little taken aback by the question. Like, I don't think he expected the white corner question after the draft. Before, it's like, all right, yeah, this hasn't happened in a while. Did you realize that? After the draft, I think he was a little taken aback. 215-592-9494. We're going to get to some winners and losers across the NFL in this weekend's draft. We got to take your phone calls, though, including Herb in the Northeast, because Herb said he talked to Kelly Oubre. Herb?
Yo, Joe, what's happening?
Herb, what's going on? You talked to Oubre?
I talked to Oubre right after the game. He was in his car, and I told him, keep shooting. I says, we got to play better defense. We got to get the rebound. But I'll be honest with you, Joe. I put a lot on the coach, okay? Mm-hmm. Embiid played too many minutes. They should have had Paul Reed and they should have had Bamba. 7-footers out there, Bamba, and put him under there to get the rebounds and whatever else he could do. He's not a bad player. They want to play with what they played with. And you have to use other players on the team. That's why they're losing. They're not putting enough players on the floor. You got to use 10, 11 guys. What's his name? Lowry played, what, over 40 minutes or whatever? I don't know what the total was. He only gave you like 7 points.
He's old now. He's old.
Of course. He should be a backup. He shouldn't even be starting. They should have Aubrey actually should be in the backcourt with Tyrese Maxey.
Aubrey?
And then have two big guys and Embiid, whatever. What I want to talk about is, okay, the fan, when you were talking about the tickets and the fans.
What do you think about it? You have any intel on that?
Let me tell you. I was there. I worked all day. I didn't leave till 7 p.m. last night. Mm-hmm. Now, what went on was the Sixers, they never sold out, okay, for the there was a lot of tickets. Nobody bought tickets because of the fact that they had to play the play-in game. And after the play-in, once they got out of the play-in game, nobody bought any tickets. That's what happened. So you had all these tickets. All these tickets were available. I ran into a couple of kids from New York, right where my bus was. Mm-hmm. And I said, and it's the first quarter. How come you're not inside the game? I said to him. He said, you know what he says to me? He says, we can't afford the tickets. I said, can't afford the tickets? They're giving them away. I mean, in New York, upper decks were like anywhere from $400 or $500.
What the hell is going on?
Downstairs, people were paying like...
Yeah, that's an expensive ticket. Herb, we appreciate it.
Herb got into, he got in a bad spot, man.
Yeah, right? I think he left whatever he was in or where he was to move to another spot. He's telling us about the tickets.
I was wondering if he was going to elicit his services to Kelly Oubre, who we found out recently needs a driver.
I didn't get a chance to work that in because I was enamored by the fact that Herb had it going on like he did.
So Herb's always got it going on.
I didn't have play Mo Bamba more on my list. I'm going to be honest with you guys. My Joel Embiid excuse bingo, I didn't have Mo Bamba. But I have to say, because we've heard a lot today, Joel Embiid played too many minutes, right? A lot of that. Do you know how many players yesterday? There were 4 NBA playoff games yesterday, right? The Suns and the Timberwolves, right? Minnesota eliminated Phoenix. You had the Clippers tie the series 2-2 against Dallas yesterday. And then you had Indiana go up 3-1 on Milwaukee. And then obviously the Sixers. 4 NBA playoff games. So we're like, oh, Joel, you know, you got to get more rest for Joel Embiid. 15 players in the NBA yesterday played over 40 minutes. It's the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's like three of those players play for the Knicks.
I know. Josh Hart played like 47 out of 48 minutes.
Yeah, Nobi played a lot of minutes too.
So, guys, if the answer
what does that tell
is,
you though?
If the answer is Mo Bamba, the problem is insurmountable.
This is the bottom line. Now, I understand that a lot of people feel some kind of way about Joel Embiid, but we're talking about, for whatever reason, you're talking about all these other guys on all these other teams that have stepped up, even if you talk about what the production is. Like, when you look at the Knicks bench, they got 14 points from their bench. That's probably not they got more points out of their bench the last couple of games they played in than they did the other day. But their starters went out there and they played well. They went out there and they played a lot. That's what's asked of you in the playoffs.
Yes.
So sacrifice, man.
Well, my point is, like, how many guys in the Sixers versus the Knicks do you trust to play 40 points in the playoffs? The Knicks have more guys. They just do.
But we're supposed to have the best player.
Right. But
and the second or the third best player.
Ignoring the point. Like, the Knicks have guys that can boost up Brunson when he's not playing as well as he can. We don't have that.
I know, but if I just reverse this, like, let's take it backwards. And I say to you, I'm gonna describe an NBA team. Their best player's hobbled. The best player plays poorly in the fourth quarter. He can't really play 40 minutes. You need the backups to play more. You need the bench to play more. You know what your first thing would be? That team's not winning the title. That's not good enough. That's us. That's who I'm talking about. Mad Mike's up next. What's up, Mike?
Oh, here we go.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hey,
we're just trying to get through here, Mike. It's an annual spring tradition.
Why do you let that old man ramble on, just lost and muttering around in a parking lot with a bus? I don't think he's actually a bus driver, but whatever.
Well, he got in some trouble, I think. But he's good now.
Joel Embiid is a loser, and he should be traded away immediately. He stinks, and if the only reason you're keeping him is to sell tickets, then shame on the Sixers. They're never going to get out of purgatory. Joel is never going to lead you to anything, and he's breaking down, and he's in that window where he's no longer the fake MVP. He's just a broken-down has-been of what he was.
Harsh, Mike, but I'm not arguing with a lot of this today because he's not playing well enough. I mean, that's it. And, Mike, we appreciate the phone call. Mike and her were quite the back-to-back callers. I mean, you get some one
that's a lot. One
right
on one spectrum, and then the other one's on the other spectrum. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to digest.
You think Herb was in a tunnel at the end of that? Back in his house? What do you think he was? Because the sound effects changed totally.
Yeah, he was probably somewhere dropping somebody off or doing, you know, his job thing and the phone drop.
Maybe Kelly Oubre was dropping off. Who knows?
Yeah, he needed to probably drop Kelly Oubre off. Yeah.
It's probably better that way for everybody if Herb's the new driver for Kelly Oubre. All right, let's get to some winners and losers here. Then let me hear something Howie said I really liked over the weekend. All right, I got a couple winners and losers from this draft. You want to hear some, Hugh?
What
ready
you
for
got?
This? All right. Can we start with a loser?
Who lost?
Well,
I think this is easy.
Well, low-hanging
fruit.
Deserve this.
Yeah.
Oh, the Cowboys?
Oh, yeah. The Cowboys, total loser from this weekend in the NFL draft. They didn't draft a receiver or a running back. Part of the reason they didn't draft a running back, of course, we have this. It's Jerry Jones. I believe he telegraphed their draft plan. So if you notice, you're watching Friday night, right? I think it was a little bit after the Cooper DeJean pick. The Carolina Panthers traded up to draft Jonathan Brooks, the running back out of Texas. And part of the reason that they traded up to get the guy they wanted is, well, Jerry Jones told everyone the Cowboys were going to draft him.
In my 30 years, I thought it was the best interview that I've ever interviewed with a player. He's outstanding. And he's just outstanding. And he's a great football player. We got him high, high, high. And he's a good player.
Show him the board.
Well, I got it out here.
Now, again, everyone, that's before the second round. Imagine if Howie Friday night, right after they draft Quinyon Mitchell, imagine if they ask him about other players you considered, or what'd you think of Cooper DeJean when he came in here? Again, Cooper DeJean was still on the board, and Howie said, best interview I've ever seen. High on the board. They would have never got him in the second round. He telegraphed the whole league. He was going to draft him.
Now, you know how I feel about the Dallas Cowboys. But I got to say, man, the last couple of weeks, it just feels like whomever is in Jerry's circle of trust, they kind of set him up for failure, dude. He's had a couple times where he's been out there in public. And he says things that makes one believe. Like, I'm just going to say this, that they need to take his car keys. Like, I know you know you got in trouble for that last week.
Yeah, I'll let you say this.
Yeah, time. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take the heat for you today. But somebody needs – it sounds like at some point somebody's going to take Jerry's car keys, and the people around him are letting him slow burn. Like, this is a slow burn for Jerry because it was that and the fact that he talked about the draft position that before the draft where they were drafting, it made it sound like that's the greatest spot to be in and all this other stuff. Yeah, somebody needs to take Jerry Jones' car keys, man.
They had a tough weekend.
Very, very tough.
They don't get the running back they want, but they re-signed Zeke Elliott today, so the Cowboys are living in 2017. So the Cowboys had a rough weekend. I also thought another loser this weekend was Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk Cousins, they sign him, Hugh, and then they draft a quarterback with the 8th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
It's not going to be long until people want to see that kid on the field instead of Kirk.
Yeah, and the people that are most upset, Atlanta fans. I have a lot of friends that were asking me questions about why they drafted a quarterback. And the one thing that I got from it, and a friend of mine that played in the NFL told me that the one thing that Coach Morris didn't want to do was tether his boat to a Kirk Cousins for the long haul. That's why they went out and got a quarterback. But I think the most telling thing about the Atlanta Falcons weekend was the fact that Terry Fontenot was sitting there. And it looked like, I don't know what was being said, but I'm speculating, like I always do. It's speculating that Arthur Blank was not happy about the pick because there was a lot of conversation being had back and forth when that pick went down.
Yeah, it's
or
great,
after that pick went
crazy
down.
Crazy roster management to give that much to a quarterback and draft another one right away with the number 8 pick. All right.
94 WIP breaking news.
We got some breaking news here, Hugh. How about this? According to Andrew Marchand, the sports media critic or writer, reporter, we're going to call him, for The Athletic, we know Jason Kelce's TV destination. Jason Kelce, according to Andrew Marchand of The Athletic, is headed to ESPN for a role on ESPN's Monday Night Countdown pregame show.
Congratulations to him, man. I mean, it's only natural. I mean, and that's a nice little trip. That's not a bad trip from here.
Well, you know that trip.
Yeah, that's not a bad little ride, you know, from here to Bristol. You know, and he get to come home and be with his family. That's pretty cool.
So Kelce is going to be part of the pregame show for ESPN's Monday Night Football. So that's where we're going to see him. Next is Jason Kelce. I mean, this was just a matter of the network, right? We all knew he was going to be on TV. Some speculated Amazon. This morning, there were a couple changes with CBS's Sunday show with Boomer Esiason out and Phil Simms out. So people thought maybe CBS.
Oh, Phil was out too?
Phil's out too. I saw that during the course of our show. So, okay. So all the networks are changed. And this is... I felt this was coming, aside from the Kelce thing, Hugh, because the networks, I'll use the word stale. They got a little stale. Like,
well, it's a little older.
Yeah, right.
And like, it's a changing of the guard.
Yes.
You know, and we live in a social media era, I should say, and there's a lot of guys who have strong social media backgrounds and social media backing, and it's a thing that people like now.
I just think, like, the booths they put together 20, 25 years ago.
It was strong.
Yeah, but now...
It's changed.
It's time to change, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing against, like... And Boomer still does his talk show in New York. It's just like, I get it. I get why these networks are changing it over, and a lot of the recently retired guys are going to be
there.
He had
a nice run, man. And you know, it's like anything else, man. You can only do it for so long. Somebody's always looking to take your job.
I wonder who he's going to end up being on the panel. So currently, ESPN's Monday Night Countdown is hosted by Scott Van Pelt, and Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark are with him. I think Kelce might be replacing RG3 because RG3 was on that last year.
RG3 is blown up. I don't know about that. I think they're just probably going to add
another person.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to add because that's a pretty good group, man. I don't really watch it that much. And, you know, RG3 brings something unique to the table. I don't think they're gonna take him off of that show. So I would say he'll be another piece.
I'll tell you what, the Spears, Ryan Clark, Kelce group, that's a pretty strong trio.
Yeah.
If that's what they're putting together. So Jason Kelce to ESPN. All right, 215-592-9494. Bruce is up on WIP. Hey, Bruce.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Bruce. What's up,
man?
Buddy?
All right. Well, first, let me just get this off and exercise some demons about the Sixers. I tell you, I'm just totally just disgusted and annoyed and perturbed, and I don't know a thousand other words I can say about this team. First, I just have to say I've always been an Embiid backer, even when he's
done some annoying things. I said my criticisms about him, I think, was pretty much even keel. But I admire what he's done in the playoffs so far, trying to play through injury. But this thing about the fans was just – it just really got under my skin. But that just goes to show how much he's still somewhat disconnected from his fan base and why we are where we are. If you're not playing to that level of expectation, Philly fans are not going to show up. That's just the way it is, and that's just the way we do things here. If your feelings are hurt about that, then that's your problem. Step up your game and get and step up. But Josh Harris, I mean, that guy. I think as long as he owns the team, it's almost like I tease people about Jerry Jones. They'll never win a championship. It's the same for him. He's totally disconnected from this city. Unless that happens or that changes, I just don't see this team going anywhere anytime soon. Now, I'll just leave that alone, going to my Eagles point. Love the draft. Love everything that they did. My only issue, and I just want to get you guys, maybe you all can talk about this. I just wanted to see them get – I was surprised they didn't get an old lineman or a backup guard, because that's the position that we're really thin at. I think everything else is pretty much set in stone. And maybe Howie might go out to the free agent market.
So Bruce, he already did. I was surprised too. Yeah, Bruce Kufunko. I was surprised. If you ask me the two things I thought they didn't do, maybe I thought they would have done the draft. Now, I would say pass rusher, but maybe Hunt's ready to get on the field quicker than I think. If he's a project, well, then they really didn't add a pass rusher for this year. But Hugh, the other one was tackle. They did draft a center late. They drafted a guard very late, but no tackles. And that was that's pretty thin. But like you just said, late last night, they signed Mekhi Becton, the former first-round pick of the Jets, who had had injuries and kind of fallen out of favor there. But it seems like it's a decent – he has a good amount of starts under his belt. He's got some experience.
Yeah, he does. I don't know what the actual story was with the Jets. I remember he had a couple injuries early in his career, and he was out there for a while. But, yeah, he's a serviceable guy. He's a first-round draft pick, pretty serviceable.
So, yeah, he's 25 years old. I mean, he's huge. He's 6'7", 365 pounds. I mean, he looks the part. He has never lived up to the billing of being as good as he was supposed to be. So he started 13 games his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Then he only started one game his second year. He missed the entire season his third year, and then he started all year last year. Now, if we're being fair, he was a free agent on April 28th. That probably says something about him, but
yeah.
I'll take him here as a backup.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's a guy who you look at his career has been a little banged up. Hopefully being here with Coach Stowland will help make him a better player. Hopefully he can get out on the field, and if we need him to play – we got a guy.
The one thing that is pretty obvious, there's no more glaring holes the way they were when the offseason started. Now, there may be some spots you feel I don't know, or we'll see. But Howie's done enough that there's not something that's oh, my goodness, that's going to destroy the team. Ryan's in the Northeast. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Ryan. What are you feeling, bud?
Vindicated. I know a lot of casual Embiid fans love to get caught up in his points and how many points he scores, but games, they've given the Knicks so many chances, so many opportunities, all the offensive rebounds. But this has been a problem for this team for years. The last few years, they're always in the bottom five rebounding, every year. And it's catching up with them. And it always catches up with them in the playoffs. I want to touch on something you said, Joe, while I was on hold, and it's so true. He's so good at spinning the narrative, just dropping a little gem out there so people will talk about something else. But people are catching on to his act. They're going to keep him because they're still trying to milk this stadium, but I would just cut my losses, man, especially when you got this money. Just cut it, get out from under everybody, live with Maxi and all that,
Yeah.
And one other point, another caller said about T.O.'s body being his temple. And, I've been hard on A.J. Brown, but same thing about him. You got to respect the guys, the shape the guys keep himself in, whether you like it. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.